Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, it's time for a 5-Minute Friday. We have a special treat because I have my pre-med student, Jacqueline, here with me. Jacqueline's a junior at SMU, and she's interviewing me to find out all about how to become a doctor, a plastic surgeon, an injector, a boss girl, a mom, a wife, all the things. Jacqueline, say hey to our audience.
Hi, guys.
And as we are doing this, we're multitasking a little bit because that's what we boss girls have to do. So Jacqueline's going to ask me questions, and I always get a lot of questions about what does it take to become a doctor? What does it take to be a plastic surgeon? How do I get to be an injector? So let's start with maybe pre-med. So Jacqueline, ask me what you want to ask. Ask what all those pre-meds and all those injectors want to know about the process.
So what was it like in med school? Did you feel that you had to prove yourself more compared to the boys?
That is a great question. And I actually have never felt like that. I've always, silly me, have always felt to be smart. And I've always felt I could compete with the guys all through grade school, elementary school. I guess, I was not one of the popular kids for sure, but I definitely was one of the kids who studied really hard, and I always had confidence in my skills of being able to achieve whatever I set my mind to. So I think, and that's a message to all guys and girls out there, like if you invest in your skill set and you can get those skills and you prove yourself by suffering, enduring, working hard, learning, you're never going to doubt yourself in any environment. So I didn't feel that need in grade school, not even in med school, actually. Surgery training, maybe that's a little different because in surgical training, you do feel like you're in a very male-dominated environment and there just are not a lot of women that you see in positions of power. There are definitely not a lot of women surgeons. And so you do feel a little bit dwarfed, like your femininity is maybe not a superpower, where normally it is.
Okay, the next question that I have is, what made you open up your own private practice?
So I didn't always have my own private practice. I started when I graduated residency. When I graduated residency, I worked with a very nice group of head and neck surgeons and an older surgeon who was very much like a solid old-fashioned guy who taught me the ropes, and I recommend that for everyone starting out to join someone who's experienced, who's been through the ringer, and who sort of knows how to do things. So that was very valuable for me. And then after a few years of that, you gradually start to realize your own goals and ambitions, and I've always wanted to hang my own shingle. So life kind of puts you in a position sometimes where you're forced to make those decisions and changes. And I had twins, two babies in my surgical training. My chief year of residency, a boy and a girl, was the hardest year of my life. Those are the years you do the hardest, longest 10-hour surgeries, and you are like the chief of a 6-person team of surgeons. And that was at UCLA, which is one of the top 5 programs in the country for head and neck surgery. So it was a hard year. But when I finished that, I had 2 other kids. My third one, I was working with this group, they did not offer me a partnership after I had invested really a lot of myself, and that just made me realize that it was time for me to break free and value my own skills and just go get my own career. So I don't know if people do that anymore these days, setting up a shingle and opening their own shop, but it's been so great because I can set my own schedule. I can really focus on the things I want to do and develop my own brand.
What do you think is like your favorite part of your job? Like creating your own skincare line, doing injections, what is your favorite part?
Definitely the creativity of this job is my favorite, and I see that in every aspect of what I do. So from the injectables, where I feel like you can use fillers to literally paint, contour, and sculpt the human face, to surgery, where we are quite literally using, you know, our surgical skills and tools to reform the face. And reconstructive surgery especially is so rewarding. And I love the creativity that's come with social media, because just being a creator of content has made me realize that I have a good powerful digital voice, and I have things I want to teach, and I'm loving that. Skincare is one of my passion projects, and it's been really fun to develop the branding, the ingredients that go into a skincare line, and the creative thought power of, you know, how do you market a product. So I never studied marketing or business, but being able to every day learn with the power of Instagram and social media analytics, you very quickly become a marketing expert. And you can really see what's working, what's resonating with patients, and what's trending, and what feels genuine and true. Like, I never want to be like a used car salesman hawking goods. I want to teach patients educationally, and I want them to value the content of what they're learning. And I want to bring people into our office because they feel genuine warmth and caring.
So you obviously balance a lot. You're a mom, you're a dog mom, you're a wife.
I'm a puppy mom, yes. I have a newborn puppy.
You're a wife. How do you make time for it all and to still enjoy your life and live to the fullest, as everyone sees on your Instagram stories on the weekends?
Well, as you know, Instagram stories are always so curated, but I try to throw in a little bit of uncurated stuff. I don't feel like I have time for it all, and if anybody would ask me that, I think that's the biggest, of course, that's the misconception that you can have it all. I can only have it all because I sacrifice sleep, and to some extent that works, and to some other extent it's not going to work too much longer because I'm not as young as I used to be. But I think in my early days I put my children first. So when I finished residency with four young kids, I definitely did not go to meetings. I did not do the research and papers that I write. And I always felt bad to go to medical meetings because I didn't want to leave my husband alone with the kids. And I don't think you can have a two-family household where you both sacrifice. And my husband's he's a boss himself. He's an interventional cardiologist. He runs a cardiology program here at Huntington Hospital. And he's doing all these amazing things like replacing total aortic valve replacement through someone's groin and or through their radial artery in their wrist, and just kind of like amazing. So I let him really grow his career, and he's now CEO of his company, and he still does all this great stuff. And then now, as my kids have become older, now I have time to do the fun things that I want to do as well. So I think as a mom, there's nothing more important than your kids, and it dwarfs every important thing I've ever done in my life, is raising these kids and enjoying them. So I encourage women to notice and value the importance of being a mom and put that first when the timing is right, and recruit everybody you know to help you be a good family. You need your grandparents in the picture, you need to have a nanny, you need to have a helper, like a babysitter, someone to help you when you're exhausted. You need a whole army of, people to step in and do the work of raising kids. And not to feel guilty about it. For a long time, I felt guilty about having to hire someone to help I would come home from work with a giant bag of paperwork and charts to catch up on from the day, and I'd be falling asleep at my desk doing paperwork. And my husband finally said, "You're just killing yourself. It's not worth it for you to keep doing that. Just pay the money, get an assistant, and it'll be worth it." And he was so right. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I listened, because you need to clone yourself in these ways. And the only way to do that is to really outsource some of what you have to do. Realize that, okay, I don't love to cook. I like to cook, but maybe I'm not the best cook, so let me outsource that. I do a lot of takeout. And I found all the healthy takeout in the city, and that's just the way it is. So I don't cook that much. You can't have it all. You have to give up a few things. So that's my advice, is get a lot of help, give up a few things, prioritize children and family, and then get your goals, because you can never be a happy person if you put aside all of your personal ambition and goals and you just forget who you were when you were younger and what you want to do in your life. You need to remember that, because that's the essence of you. It's almost like you think about who you were in fifth grade, sixth grade, what you dreamed you could be. Those days when you had that pure thinking of childhood, you have to remember that, and you have to honor that. So you wanted to be an artist, you want to be a dancer, all those things and passions that you never got to do. You got to reactivate them at some point when you have that stability in your life, your kids are grown. So that's one of my passionate recommendations for all my women patients is remember who you are, that girl who you really are on the inside, and don't let anyone take that from you. Not a man, not a kid, not a job.
What are you most excited about in the within like the next year? Like, what do you have planned for yourself, for your practice, that you are happy about?
Well, I'm excited to revamp our skincare line a little bit. I'm really excited to work with really smart, fun people like Jacqueline here. So doing more research in our office. So we've just published my sculpture butt study, which was a really nice year-long study, a landmark study that looked at 60 patients, the biggest published study to date, who've done butt injections with us, and it showed safety, efficacy, benefit. So I've done that study with a bunch of dedicated pre-med students, just like Jacqueline, and I really enjoy that aspect of this job, working and thinking outside of the box and realizing that this industry, aesthetics, has a lot of talk. Like, sometimes people do things based on what a company says is possible versus what research truly demonstrates to be effective. So I'd like to bring a little bit more research into our field and give patients a little more understanding of like the truth of what really works for beauty and aesthetics. So I'd love one day to discover that, you know. We're all looking for the fountain of youth, but it has to be the legitimate fountain of youth where you do procedures that really work and help in a convincing way, in a reproducible way. So loving the research. And that's kind of my passion right now, is getting this office really good flow, getting more of a digital voice to teach my modern aesthetic theory course. Which I think I want to, let me take that back, Jacqueline. If I could do one thing in the next 5 years, I would love to get legislation to mandate patient safety and controls for who can be injecting, certification and training requirements for who can take a needle to your face and give you a filler or a shot or potentially a procedure that can blind you, make you have a stroke or have vascular necrosis or skin problems. There's currently no legislation for that. And I think that's so critical for patient protection and for all of us. This is why faces are turning into weird over, filler face, doughy looking creatures, because sometimes we don't have the education and the artistry. So if I could mandate anything, it would be legislation to improve that training process, and then definitely doing more teaching like my online course where people can learn that, and not restricting access to knowledge. There should be open knowledge where we share, where it's not like this competition between surgeons and injectors. I'm all about that.
My last question would be, so you obviously work in plastic surgery and you see girls come in that maybe don't need work, but they feel like they do because of the era that we're in with social media and with filters. How do you deal with that? And what is like your best advice to girls who really suffer from a lack of self-confidence?
That's a deep one, Jacqueline. Well, it's challenging, and I have 3 daughters, and I never ever want to see them doing funny, weird things to their faces. I want them to understand that beauty is, it's cliche, it's so cliche, but beauty is internal, right? And you have to have the confidence and the internal respect of who you are, and the understanding that you can't change too much who you are, because you're never going to be happy if all you want to do is keep changing. You have to kind of love that person that you are. And the outside external trappings of what we are, it's okay to maintain that. I want patients to understand, and my own daughters to understand, you have to maintain your beauty in order to preserve attractiveness and confidence. So that is important. And there's a difference between preserving and maintaining beauty and wanting to tweak a few things that will just give you that glow of confidence, and then overdoing it, where you're getting over-injected, where you're wanting to follow every social media trend, where you bring me photoshopped images of people and you don't understand. Patients today don't understand the amount of Photoshop that goes on social media. And we see all these models. We work with all these models. And they're all lovely, beautiful people. But many of their images are quite altered, and it's creating a definite dysmorphia where people have such unrealistic expectations of what normal aging and facial changes are about. And if you cannot understand and appreciate at age 20 that you are going to age and you do have to get used to the idea, then God help you when you're 50, because you're going to be a very unhappy creature. And so I think we need to learn tolerance of the aging process and respect for it and appreciation for what we can be at every decade in our life. So I just recommend that people take it easy on themselves, talk to themselves with their positive, kind voice, because that's how your own brain starts to think. It starts to think negatively if every day you look at your face and you think, like, I'm so ugly, I'm so this, I'm so that. You got to uphold the positives. And that is good advice for you too, Jacqueline. Yeah. Jacqueline is studying to be a pre-med. My advice to you pre-meds out there, it's really hard. College makes it unnecessarily hard, and they just try to beat the life out of you with organic chemistry, physics, and all these hard prerequisites. So find some aspect of that that you love. Like, I really loved molecular biology and neuroscience. And then focus on it. And remember, you never have to use OCHEM ever again in your life, in med school or as a doctor, never ever. And just relish that fact that you're going to suffer a little, but a lot of long-term benefit. And I think we need a generation of physicians, nurses, pharmacists, PAs, nurse practitioners coming up who are going to take care of us. And I want so much for that to be dedicated people that love what they do. And you really have to invest in yourself. So sacrifice now when you're young. Study so hard. Get your goals. You can do it. Especially you, Jacqueline. You're so smart and talented.
Thank you.
That's it for now, guys. You've heard more than enough about me now. You know everything about me. I'm very transparent. Send me a bunch of questions. Ask me for advice or encouragement. Love to put that out there. Hope that you guys will follow me on Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, doing amazing things with people's faces. And you can check out our website, beautybydrk.com. And if you're someone who wants to do some research, pre-med, internship with me, send me an email. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.